All right, we're going to be studying in the book of Galatians today. Our studies are actually about the book of James. But since the book of James has been so misunderstood by so many professing Christians, it never should have been misunderstood. If theologians, if Christians had applied the truth that they know and understand in the attributes of God, the book of James never would have been misunderstood. And, we've got a large segment of people under the canopy of Christianity that believe that James wrote early, before the doctrine of salvation by grace through faith was published abroad. Now, what's wrong with that? One verse of Scripture says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete. Thoroughly furnished. I've been in houses that were thoroughly furnished and they were a mess. Thoroughly furnished is it's got just the right furnishings in the right place. And that's where, modern translations change that word thoroughly to thoroughly, and it doesn't have that meaning. Anyway, if we're going to understand the Scriptures, we have to understand who God is. Now, God is omniscient and has existed forever. That's, for us, that's very difficult to understand, how anyone could exist forever. But He's God. At a point in time, He spoke and brought the universe into existence. He's immutable. That means He doesn't change. He's eternal. That is, He's existed forever. He's omniscient. That means He knows everything, past, present, and future, as if it's in the present tense. So the concept that James wrote under the inspiration of God before the doctrine of salvation by grace had fully developed is blasphemy. And everyone, everybody wants to take you to James and say, well, faith without works is dead. And they don't know that James was writing to unsaved Jews of the diaspora. The prima facie evidence, or first fact evidence, is that any Jew scattered out of Israel would have been scattered because of idolatry and unbelief. So to expect James to be writing to the 12 tribes scattered abroad, and that they were scattered for what reason? The evidence would suggest they were scattered because they had not believed God, and many of them, when they were scattered into Babylon, only with the servants and the Jews, it was less than 50,000 people that returned to Israel. And the majority remained in Babylon. That's when the Jews became financiers. And all of the ancient potentates over the various nations of the world almost always had a Jew as his financial advisor. They're very good about it then, and they're very good about it now. And because of that, there's a lot of anti-Semitism in the world. Now, granted, the Jews can be an obnoxious people. I can be obnoxious. You can be obnoxious. But people, we have anti-Semitism. Do you realize why there's so much anti-Semitism with the? That's kind of a conundrum. Anti-Semitism between the Arabs and the Jews, but they're both Semitic. They're both, Esau, and Jacob came from Isaac, And Ishmael and Isaac came from Abraham. And Abraham is the father, basically, of the nation of Israel. So anti-Semitism, it really means anti-Judaism, you know, anti-Jewish, because the Semitic people are both Arabs and Jews. Okay. Let's get back to our text. If we apply the attributes of God, then what the theologians have said over the years about the book of James and what so many churches under the canopy of Christianity have said about the book of James cannot be true. And I discovered this many, many years ago. And I, when I first discovered it, and Brother Stewart wasn't living here at the time, he was still living in Long Beach, and I was talking to him on the phone on a Sunday morning before the service. And have you ever been talking with someone on the phone, and all of a sudden it's like there's nobody there? Yeah. And when I mentioned what the premise that I had about the book of James, he later told me, you know, I thought you had lost your spiritual mind, you know, because all of the theologians, everybody, says that James was written to Jewish Christians. And that's why we have so much trouble with the book. We're trying to apply it to Christians when it's not applied to Christians. It's applied to unsaved Jews to bring them to salvation. Okay? And that's why James compared his faith in Christ with the unsaved Jews' faith, which was in the works of their own hands. And let's compare the two faiths. Let's see which one works. Okay. And if we would apply what we know the Scripture says to, another principle before I finish that thought. All Scripture is given by how? By inspiration of whom?
God.
God is eternal. God is omniscient. God is holy. God is righteous. God is just. There's only one plan of salvation. There is only one God. Now, the Scriptures say there are many that are called gods. But there's actually only one God. And that God manifested himself to man through the virgin birth of Christ. So that in John 1, the Gospel of John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was whom? The Word was God, or God was the Word, is the way it reads in the Greek. Okay? So now, who is Jesus? He is God in a human body. Why do you have to have a human body? So he can stand in our stead in life. And as a Jew, fulfill every jot and tittle of the law and fulfill all righteousness. And then to fulfill the sacrificial system, which pointed the Jews and everybody from Adam forward, the sacrifices that were made. For example, when God clothed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he had to kill a vicarious or substitutionary sacrifice to provide them with suitable clothing. They were immediately ashamed when they received the knowledge of good and evil. Why were they ashamed? They'd been naked from the day that God had created them. But without a sin nature, there's no shame being naked. But with a sin nature, you know, there is. And so, Adam and Eve sewed fig leaves together. Now, that's the works of man's own hands. How long are fig leaves going to work? For a few days at most. You know, in the fall, we have oak trees and maple trees around our house, and the oak leaves, they're big and they fall, and if there's not a lot of heavy rain, if there's some dry weather, they dry up so that they can break into pieces and come apart pretty quickly. So leaves are a tenuous covering at best, and leaves do not satisfy the holiness of God. The scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. What does remission mean? There's no payment. We can't pay for our sins. Now think about this. We live in a sinful body, and it's our nature to sin. And yes, some people can live better lives than other people with a sin nature, but none of us can meet God's standard, perfect standard of the law. And that's why the law was given. And that's why what we read here in Galatians is very important. And Paul says in verse 20 of the second chapter of Galatians, and we've read this before, but I'm going to repeat it because these verses in Galatians are so foundational, we should never forget them. And once we understand it and understand that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, then we will understand that the way that most people under the canopy of Christianity interpret the book of James is totally false. It's contrary to God. Okay? It makes God a liar. You know, it makes... You know, think about this. He wrote to unsaved Jews, and then the way it's translated, if any is sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. He gives them a carte blanche. You can be healed of anything. Can we? You know, I just underwent parotid surgery a few months back on my left side. This week on my right side. Either one of them could have taken me into the presence of the Lord. You know. But the only reason I'm here is because apparently the Lord still has a ministry for me to fulfill before he says, okay, Dale, it's time to come home. Okay? And that can come at any time. Life is what? It's but a vapor. Have you ever gone out on a cold January morning? And I used to love to ski. After I had a heart attack, couldn't do it anymore. It's not why I used to work hard at 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 feet. a single exhalation of a breath, when it's cold, it vaporizes in your, and you can see the exhalation of that breath. You don't see me exhaling my breath now, and I can't speak without exhaling, because it's too warm in here for that to occur. But everybody's experienced it. How long can you see that breath? That's what life is like compared to the eternality of God. See, God's eternal, and we're not. Oh, we're going to exist for eternity if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in life by the quickening power of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. We will live with Christ forever. We too are eternal. If we do not, our souls are eternal, and they will, be judged for the deeds done in the body, and be found short of the glory of God, and be cast into the lake of fire. Why does that have to happen? God made provision. People want to argue with God. How can a merciful God send anyone to hell? Well, if he doesn't, you can never have a heaven. You can't have a perfect environment filled with imperfect people. And all of us in this life are imperfect. But God judicially declared us to be as righteous as he is righteous when Christ died for our sins and we believed upon him. And he gave us the faith to do it. So there's no boasting whatsoever. So that's what Paul says. I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, or in this body, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now I've been saved since 1954, January 17th, 1954. Came home on leave a year after my dad's death, the previous January. And Joanna was with me. Joanna had been saved as a young girl. I didn't know it, but she knew it. And so I went, accepted the Lord as my Savior and was baptized that same night, And then circumstances were such that when we returned to Spokane, Washington, where I was a member of the 92nd Bomb Wing Heavy, that means B-36 bombers. B-36 was actually bigger than the B-52. It had 6 reciprocating engines and 4 jets, and it was a huge thing. We would be flying at low altitude as they would vary the pitch of the propellers, and it would sound like a helicopter going over. Look at that. Whop, whop, whop. But that plane could fly without refueling for 40 hours. It actually held in its wings 2 railroad oil tankers or fuel tankers full of fuel. It's an enormous amount of fuel. It can fly over 40 hours without having to land and refuel, because in those days we didn't have airborne refueling. It was a monster of an airplane. But when I returned, we immediately went on a TDY, that's temporary duty, to Eielson Air Force Base in Alaska. Half of our guys went to Okinawa in Japan. And we were simulating an attack on Russia. So we flew up there. General Curtis LeMay was the head of SAC, and he had said to the President of the United States at that time, "We can be anywhere in the world in 24 hours and ready to fight." And we did this 2 times, once in September, another time in January. And in September, have you ever been in Alaska in September? They have mosquitoes, or some of them called no-see-ums. Big fly through the screens and open the latches so their bigger buddies can get in. And Eskimos, when they would excommunicate someone from their society, used to drive them into the woods where they couldn't be protected from the mosquitoes, and they would go mad being bitten by mosquitoes. I mean, they've got some humdingers up there. Anyway, getting back to this. After we got those planes in the air, and we landed, the last plane landed about 2 o'clock in the morning. We were on the flight line at 7 in the morning getting those planes ready to fly. And by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they had all, we had 2 spares, and they were ready to go too. But those 20 bombers left on a nonstop flight to Okinawa, Japan, simulating an attack on Russia. Then what? Well, for the next week, we're displaced persons. We don't have a job on that base. So, pinochle poker, whatever, But Dale was newly saved, and Dale had a New Testament, and so I laid in my bunk and devoured that thing. We think, well, that was a fortuitous set of circumstances. No, that was foreordained of God. He knew all about that before the foundation of the world. And he put me in a position to just devour the Word of God. And I think I got through all 4 Gospels in that time. And you have to recognize that the Gospels are Old Testament books. They were our Lord ministering to Jews under the Old Covenant. And the epistles take us on into the New Testament. And just the end of of each of those books, we have the crucifixion of Christ, the burial of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, and the promise to tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. The Spirit that was with you will then be in you. Old Testament saints the Spirit of God could come upon them for service, but he didn't permanently indwell them because Christ had not yet died. So there wasn't a progression in the gospel. The gospel was eternally in the mind of God. It was revealed in the Garden of Eden with the judgment of the serpents. And then it was revealed later in the days of Noah when man's heart was only, as the translators do it, only evil continued. No, it was upon the evil. What's the evil? There's a way which seemeth right under a man. But the end thereof are the what? The ways of death. What seems right? What is at the base of all of the religions of the world? Man's morality. Man did not get his morality from God, he got it from the devil. He fell from the image of God when Adam ate of that tree. And theologians have forgotten that. And they have all fallen, I shouldn't say all, but most, have fallen into the same deception that Eve was deceived with, that we can please God by the lives that we live. When the scripture says very clearly, over in the book of Hebrews, without faith it is impossible to please Him. And the law is what? It's not a faith. So to interpret the scriptures the way man has is counterproductive. People are always trying to please God by the lives that they live. The only way you can please God is by believing Him. So Paul says, because of that, I was crucified with Christ. In other words, it's actually I have been crucified with Christ because it happened at a point in time. And so God counts us to have died when Christ died, and to have been buried when Christ was buried, and to be risen from the dead when Christ arose from the dead. That's that judicial position. Okay. We have to understand those are legal terms in the way that God views us. And because God views us that way, their sins and iniquities will I what? Remember against them when? No more. So God's not looking at our lives and our morality and the things that we do that way. The only way that we can please God is by acting with the gifts that He has given us, which He energizes according to the book of Corinthians. And He energizes those gifts in us. And then according into the third chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, when we're raised, we're going to be stand before the Lord and be judged and rewarded for what He did in us. Yeah. And He's going to say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But everything that we did in the flesh, everything that we thought we were doing by our own goodness, can't be remembered. Because no flesh can glory, where? In the presence of the Lord. These are fundamentals. And people, I've talked about in the Air Force, went from general math, just basically counting, to calculus in 2 weeks. 6 hours a day, 6 days a week. So that'd be like 36 or more credit hours in college, and 36 credit hours in mathematics, you can go that far. But we did it in a short period of time. I knew more about math, about algebra. We even went into calculus and quadratic equations. Don't ask me about them now. I haven't used them for years. I had a heart attack when I was 50. And have not used those principles I'm going to be 87 next month. So, in December it'll be 37 years, since I used those principles. So the point is, the principles that we operate on now are principles in the Word of God, comparing Scripture with Scripture. It's God's Word, not mine, And so, Paul was rebuking Peter because Peter had gotten caught up with pretending to be Jewish again after he had been eating with Gentiles and living the life that that's perfectly proper for us to live, but not proper for a Jew who had dietary restrictions. Okay? So when the Judaizers came to Antioch and they saw Peter eating and drinking with the Gentiles, then Peter began to feel peer pressure and played the hypocrite. And Barnabas also was carried away there with their hypocrisy, their dissimulation. dissimulation. I'm still having a little bit of trouble speaking because they put a breathing tube down your throat for the surgery. Makes me a little bit hoarse. Next week I'll be okay. Okay. So Paul says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, Christ died uselessly. That's not the way it's translated, but that's what it means. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? That you should not obey the truth before whose eyes. I came and preached Christ to you so you'd get rid of all of your idolatrous systems and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins according to the Scripture. And you believed it. And when he came, he said, I came with an infirmity of the flesh. After Paul was blinded on the road to Damascus, when God restored his sight, he left him a reminder. And he had what was probably ophthalmia, which was a disease of the eyes common in the Orient, which causes the eyes to secrete pus. And his bodily presence, he testifies, before people was, not very nice. I can remember we lived in a military complex off the base when I was in the Air Force. And there was a woman that lived in one of the barracks down from ours. And she had a baby who had a plugged tear duct. And she wasn't a very clean mother. And that child, it was very disturbing to look at him with matted pus on his face. And to emphasize the fact that she wasn't very clean, one day she talked Joanne into eating a tuna casserole, and she became so sick from food poisoning. Some people, there's no accounting for them. Get Debbie to tell you about the guy that was on the base when she was in California. Okay, let's continue with this. Now, verse 6, let's jump ahead. Even as Abraham believed God, and everybody, I read a book written by a Roman Catholic about Mohammed. And this Roman Catholic priest believed that Abraham was sinless. No, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Now, what he had to say about Mohammed and Islam was very accurate. But what he had to say about Abraham was very inaccurate. It fell into the misunderstandings that are taught in the Roman Church. So, even as Abraham believed God and it was charged to his account. This is a bookkeeping term. You have to balance the books. So, Abraham, though he was a sinner saved by grace, he was counted to be righteous, because he believed on God and the righteousness of Christ was imputed to him. And that was before the fact. But not before the fact with God, because God's eternal. And God is eternally omniscient. He knows everything. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the nations, they translated it heathen, it's the word ethnos in the Greek. It speaks of the nations of the world. Through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So Abraham was going to produce Isaac, and Isaac was going to produce Jacob, and ultimately from the seed of Abraham was going to come the Christ, and he was going to be born, how? Virgin born, so that he could be both God and man, and offer us himself as a sacrifice for sin. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it's written, now what does it say? Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And Jesus, when he taught the Jews, he made the law much stronger than it's written back in the Old Testament. He says, you don't have to commit adultery with a woman to be guilty of committing adultery with a woman. Because he said, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after in his heart has committed adultery with her already where? In his heart. Timber. Just about every guy that ever lived, unless he's a little strange, has lusted after a woman. You know, somebody other than his wife. Or maybe before he had a wife. It's just part of that testosterone thing in men. You know. And it's part of their sin nature. You know. And I'm not excusing it. I'm just saying that's who we are. And then the scripture says if you hate somebody without a cause, you've murdered them. Whoops, we've just got all the women too. Not just women. You know, there are a lot of people very petty, like to gossip, like say, oh, that guy, you know, do you know what he does? And then, yeah, and all that. Yeah. You know, we can't accuse anybody of anything because in our hearts we've done it all. You know, that doesn't mean it's not better to try to do the best that you can rather than to, give yourself over to every desire. But no matter how we live our lives, the only way we can be justified before God is to believe that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. But that no man is justified. Now notice, this is Paul speaking, not me. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it's what? It's evident. See? Now I've repeated these fundamentals for the last several messages, because I'm trying to pound them into your brain so that you'll get it and understand. You know, are you going to mess up along the way as a believer? Sure. You know, can you live a perfect life as a believer? No. You know, is it better to live, a more moral life than an immoral life? Absolutely. But never mix up your life with your relationship with the Lord. You know. What I mean by that is, Paul referred to himself at the beginning of this epistle as, I'm a bondservant of Jesus Christ. What's that? We've got all kinds of people talking about slavery. And as if the black people were the only people that has ever been enslaved. And if you go to school today, they spend very little time teaching history. Typically, they don't go past the Second World War. You know. And so young people are being raised with no knowledge of the history of this country and of world history. But at some point in time, all of our ancestors have been enslaved to either the Romans or the Greeks or the Babylonians or the Assyrians, like the Jews, to the Egyptians, to various nations of the world. You know, they've been enslaved. So slavery is not just indigenous to Negroes that were sold by Negroes into slavery to white slavers whose ships would come up, and the black men who had been taken in, and black women, they sold them into slavery. That is not their tribe, but an opposing tribe. And there was a slave trade. And since this country was basically agricultural country, slaves were a very necessary commodity. You know, so now we're going to go tear down statues of this individual and that individual. We've all been enslaved at some point in time, and we're all enslaved to sin. See? So this political correctness, that's what you call an oxymoron. You know, do you know what an oxymoron is? You take two words that are, have different meanings or opposites of one another and put them together. Political correctness, I like what Brother Stewart said about it. Poly means many, and ticks are bloodsuckers. And you can see it. The Democratic Party at this point in time, and I'm not trying to be political, is not interested in the problems that we're having on our southern border. And there's, they want to investigate Trump. But Trump, again and again and again, he's had four investigations and been proved, guilty of obstruction, guilty of crimes in all four investigations. Yeah. And but they want to continue it. Yeah. Why? Because they want to be the party of power. And power corrupts. And how did Bernie Sanders, who is socialistic in mind, become a multimillionaire? And how did Pelosi, who, you know, in the past she wasn't so much socialist, but because of Ocasio-Cortez, she's, you know, leaning that way, you know? So why? She's a multimillionaire too. Yeah. Virtually everybody in the House of Representatives are millionaires. How'd they get to be so rich? Watch the movie. I don't recommend the language, but watch the movie The Distinguished Gentleman. You know, and it was an Eddie Murphy movie, so you'll understand what I mean about language, because Eddie Murphy early on used a lot of foul language. And then he realized one day, my children are one day going to be watching the movies that I've been making. I better clean up my act. You know? That didn't mean that he's any better than he was before when he couldn't speak without using the F word. But, you know, and that's why. Because we have a sin nature. I'm not picking on Eddie Murphy or anybody else. You know, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So then we, as we drop down, it says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. That is, they were promised salvation. Abraham was promised that of his seed all the families of the earth would be blessed. He saith not, and to seeds, what S-E-E-D-S, is it singular or plural? As plural. As of many, but as of one. Singular. And to thy seed, which is, okay, who was the seed that was going to be the seed of the woman? Jesus Christ. Who was the seed promised to Abraham? Jesus Christ. Who was the seed promised to the nation of Israel? You know, and to David, that of his seed they would reign forever? Jesus Christ. That's who the seed is. Okay? And we learn that here. Now to Abraham and the seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. So this isn't a promise to Jews only. You know, people think, you know, those Jews are rotten. Well, yeah, and I'm rotten too. Look in the mirror. If you think the Jews are rotten, I'll show you somebody just as rotten. You know, and I'm not trying to be cute. But there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Okay. And we need Christ, who is God, to become a man so that he can stand in our stead in life and fulfill the law and fulfill all righteousness and then be offered as a ransom for sin, because cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And Christ was hanged on a tree. It also, the scripture also says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So the Jews were cursed by the law. And anybody who wants to think that they can live by law and get to heaven by the life that they live, they too are cursed, because we can't meet God's holy and righteous standards. Only he could meet them. And he did it in the person of Jesus Christ. And I say that the covenant, and we're talking about the one that he made to Abraham, that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot, in Greek, the translators of our King James Bible, when it came to double negatives, got very literal. There's no such thing as disannulled. There's lots of double negatives in Greek, but the law cannot annul the promise that God made to Abraham, and he promised of Abraham's seed all the families of the earth would be blessed. Okay. That it should make the promise of none effect. See? So God made the promise to Abraham, and God can't fail to keep his promise. For if the inheritance be of the law, now listen carefully with when people are trying to make you legal using the book of James. For if the inheritance be of the law, it's no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham how? By promise. See how important it is to rightly divide the word of God? See how important it is to know the attributes of God? Wherefore then serveth the law? Did God put the Jews under the law? Yeah. Why? We'll see. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions. The Jews said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. They didn't reflect at all upon their activities in Egypt before they were delivered by the blood of the Passover lamb. And they were, you know, it wasn't conduct that delivered them. It was the blood of the Passover lamb that delivered them. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. So, how were the Jews delivered from Egypt? By Christ. In type, but by Christ. Okay. How was Abraham justified before God? By Christ. How were Adam and Eve redeemed? By Christ. You know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and what? All the way back to Adam, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's eternally true. Okay. Were there different covenants? Yes. Was anybody saved by law? No. But the law was what? It was a schoolmaster. We'll read about that here. So he says, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed, that Jesus Christ, should come, and to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. So God mediated with himself, the second person with the first person. You know, and the second person made the sacrifice for our sins because of the virgin birth. He was able to do it, and without the shedding of blood, over Leviticus 17, there is no redemption. Yeah. Or no remission is the word. Okay. Now, me there, I read that. Is the law then against the promises of God? What? May it never be, is the literal translation. Translators used an English idiom, God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But it wasn't possible to give a law to people with a sin nature so that they could satisfy the holiness, righteousness, and justice of God. It wasn't possible. So that's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. But the Scripture hath concluded, how many understand? All. All the way back to Adam. The people that lived for the 1,500 years, or the 2,500 years from Adam to Abraham, and then from Abraham we go a few years, and then 400 years from the time of the promise till the Jews came out of Egypt. And then when they came out of Egypt, what? The scurrilous people, 2 days in the wilderness, they moaned and groaned at Marah, and God gave them rest at Elim. And then when they reached Sinai, God gave them the law orally. He spoke it to them, you know. And then Moses went to the mountain and received it. And what did the Jews say in the 19th chapter of the book of Exodus? All that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. You better look in the mirror closely before you ever make a promise like that. You mean this guy that's can't even control his thoughts, is going to keep a law that requires complete and perfect holiness and righteousness? No way. But the Jews didn't see themselves that way. So the Scripture hath concluded all under sin that the promise by faith made in the Garden of Eden, made to Abraham, made in all of the sacrificial system from Sinai to it was fulfilled by our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. So Adam believed God, Abraham believed God, Noah believed God, you know, right down the line. Those who have believed God have been saved. Those who have not, who thought, according, like it says in Proverbs, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. What is that? That's the lie of the devil, that you can be like God by knowing the difference between right and wrong. Okay. And when you think that you can live a life well pleasing to God, you're a damn fool. You know, because the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And anyone that says, believes that way, is damned. So I wasn't swearing there. I was being very literal of the scriptures. Okay, just a couple of more verses. But before, not just faith, the faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up or locked up, unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. It was revealed, you know, it was hidden in shadows and types in the sacrificial system all the way from the Garden of Eden. Wherefore the law was our what? A pedagogos, a schoolmaster, an attendant slave responsible for training children. Okay. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith, and it's literally the faith, has come, we're no longer, remember this, if somebody tries to send you to the book of James to be, you know, compare their good works with your lousy life, and their lousy life too, really, you know, but after that the faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So judicially, God already counts you to be in heaven with him in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. For as many of you has been baptized, that's not in water, that's spirit baptism, into Christ, have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. So all of this sectarian stuff is nonsense. Okay. We need to come together with the plan of God regarding the person and work of Jesus Christ and quit trying to puff ourselves up and make ourselves so important that we alone have the truth. You know, people are saved in virtually every church under the canopy of Christianity. The sad part is most of the churches under the canopy of Christianity, the pastors are lazy. They'd rather visit people and build up their congregation and be hale, hearty, and well met and have lots of people to fill the building. You want to know how to empty the building quickly? Preach like Eric and I preach. Because we preach the unadulterated truth of the Word of God. And man doesn't think that way until God changes his mind with salvation. And then he can't get enough of it, okay? And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed? And what? All that God promised Abraham, he's promised us, and that makes us heirs according to God's promise. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for the marvelous truth of your word. Bless it to our hearts. Keep us strong in the faith and faithful to that which you've committed to our trust. And may each of us be desirous to hear the word often, so that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of thee and literally be transformed in our mind by the renewing of our mind. It has to be changed from the way that we've thought all our lives to the way that you would have us think according to the truth of the Word of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.